Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. And for the next few moments, I'd like to invite you to stay with me. 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education. And we do all of this with no manipulation. We do not play games, no gimmicks, no hidden agendas. We are not trying to solicit anything. This is not a show about selling anything. We're not going to ask you for anything. This show is simply about giving you accurate information, and not human speculation, but accurate information from the canon of Scripture or the Bible. That's right. It's a show about the Bible. I know, you had another one of those shows about the Bible, another one of those preachers, but this one's different, I promise you. No ranting and no raving. Just some information that I pray will help you verify and identify the plan of God for your life. And if you're able to do that, you can orient and adjust to the plan if you would like to do so. My job is not to manipulate you, not to coerce you, but to simply inform you. And the Holy Spirit's job is to convince you. That's between you and God, but once you've heard the truth, then you must make a decision to either accept it or reject it. If you're listening to The Flatline, some of you are just coming up to speed. Some shows that we produce across this country are not always on the same page. In other words, some of you are way ahead of others. So we normally do about 15 different introductory shows before we bring the new stations onto line with what everybody else is hearing. And that's happening in Tallahassee right now. But other stations like Denver and Panama City, Florida, they're still behind a little bit getting our introductory shows. But if you're in Tallahassee and you're listening today, you're now coming on with what everyone else has been listening to while we've been giving you those 15 introductory basic shows that have strived to teach you what the Flatline is. Remember, the Flatline is what this show is built on. And that means that we're using the military analogy to explain how a Christian can build a main line of resistance in his life based on 10 unique problem-solving devices. And this main line of resistance based on the Word of God will keep the outside sources of adversity from overrunning the command post of your soul and turning that adversity into stress. That's why we always say adversity is inevitable and stress is optional. So if you're listening today, this show is for you, about you, challenging you. And we're not going to go through all of the 10 unique problem-solving devices again. You should remember them. We talk about them frequently. Problem-solving device number one, especially, is the rebound technique. This is how we recover from sin. This is how we resume our spiritual advance. Because we have learned that when we sin in whatever area, whether it's something we think or something that we say or even something that we do, when we've learned that when we sin, we quench the Holy Spirit. And if we quench the Holy Spirit, He is thus grieved, and He's not able to do His job of mentoring us, of strengthening us, of leading us. So it's essential that we must rebound when we've sinned to make sure that we have problem-solving device number two in place. And problem-solving device number two is, in fact, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Without rebounding or without confessing our known sins to God, as per 1 John 1:9, we cannot, will not, and shall not be filled with the Holy Spirit. But if we admit our sin, and the Bible says if we'll confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. That's how gracious our God is. Can He forgive you for the same sin more than once? Absolutely He will. Can He forgive me for the sin regardless of what it is? Absolutely He will. And so I pray that you will learn these things, that you will understand that when we don't rebound, we put ourselves under discipline. As Hebrews 12 says, the ones that God loves, He chastens, And sometimes he has to scourge us with a whip. And this is all designed to get about humility. It's all designed, actually, it's called enforced humility. It's God enforcing humility in our lives because we did not have enough genuine humility to obey him to start with. And so just as a father would discipline a child who was arrogant and rejected the authority of the parent, then God the Father can discipline us when we're arrogant and reject his authority. And so that's why we have a show like this, to give you your insight into the Word of God so you can keep yourself out of trouble, keep yourself out from underneath the discipline of God. And if you will use rebound, 1 John 1:9, when you sin, and if you will admit your sin to God, then he will forgive you and cleanse you, and you won't be under discipline all the time. But if you reject the plan of God, if you are so arrogant and so greedy that you reject the plan of God and decide to go down the my way highway with all of your desires, then you're going to find yourself in a jam because you're going to be God's child, but you're going to be out on the wrong highway. And so he's going to gently nudge you back. He's going to gently discipline you. He's going to try to get you to admit your sin, and hopefully you will recover before you get trapped in the cosmic vortex. As you may remember, I've talked about the cosmic vortex, the invisible system called the zeitgeist or the spirit of the times. And this can trap especially young people, and it'll take them way down the road, way away from what's normal and what's real, into a subjective life of seeking happiness in all of the wrong places. So today, I want to talk to you that are serious Christians, those of you that have a desire to glorify God in your life, and you have a desire to represent Jesus Christ in your life. I want to give you three simple steps that have been my guideline for so many years. These three simple steps are essential if you're going to glorify God to the maximum in your life. If you'll listen to me today, I think you'll see them and understand them. And then the next question is, will you apply them into your life? The first step to staying on course with God is do not deviate from sound Bible doctrine. Do not deviate from sound Bible doctrine. Now I'm going to go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and read this to you, and then read you a verse out of Timothy as well. Timothy and Peter have a lot in common. They both knew they would probably be martyred someday. They're both joyful. And Peter has made it very, very clear in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, especially verse 20. He's made it clear, listen carefully, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, we didn't just make this stuff up. For prophecy came not at any time by the will of a man, but by holy men of God who spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And this is essential. As these people had come to believe in Jesus Christ, as the ministry of Christianity had spread across the continent, you had people that were accepting Christ, people that were beginning to grow, and people that were being led astray. And so there is a warning here. I read this to you because I have seen some of my friends, people that were solid, sound believers, who bought into something that wasn't true and who went a different road. So listen to 2 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly, in other words, you won't be aware of it, they will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many, not just a few, this is many, will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. by greed. They will exploit you with deceptive words. I mean, you'll think it's right, but it's not. Deceptive words. With greed, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction is not sleeping. It's coming. So there's a warning from Peter to these new converts to be especially aware of the fact that false teachers will follow. Now, Paul had some people like this that followed him into Galatia, and they were Judaizers, and they were believers. They had accepted Christ, but they still wanted to adhere to the Mosaic law. And they came in and spoke to the converts under Paul's ministry. And this is what they told them, that since they were now Christians, that they needed to circumcise themselves. And they were speaking to Gentiles. Now, this has nothing to do with being a Christian. This is not how you become a Christian. And this is not something that Christians are mandated to do. But this is something that they were saying is, if you don't do this, you're not really a Christian. Well, the problem is, and if you'll listen carefully, you'll see this. If this generation of, say, 100 people that Paul led to Christ, if they buy into this false doctrine, are they still saved? And the answer is yes. They were saved by faith alone in Christ alone. But now they've been taught that they need to be circumcised. So now they're going to be circumcised. And so now the next generation will be taught, in order to be saved, you must put your faith in Christ and be circumcised. And so the second generation will not be saved. Why not? Because they will add works. They will add works to the plan. And the Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift from God, not of works, lest anyone should brag about it. So if anyone tells you that you have to do something other than faith alone, in Christ alone, that's a deviation from sound doctrine. Jesus said, this is the will of my Father who sent me, that you believe in me whom he have sent. And you heard the word believe, the verb believe. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever would believe in him. You heard the word believe again. 1 John 5:3, he that believes in him shall not perish. This is the will of God, that you believe in him over and over and over. It's simple. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said, and thou shalt be saved. So someone comes along and tells you, well, now that you believed, you need to now go jump in the lake, and then you'll really be a good Christian. So the next generation, you will tell them, now you need to believe and jump in the lake. This is how Satan works. He works a generation ahead of you. Since he's lost you, he's not going to lose the next generation. So if he can deceive you into believing that there's something else you need to do, then the next generation, you will teach them there's two things instead of one thing in order to be saved. The only thing that's necessary for anyone to have an eternal relationship with God is to believe that his anointed Son, Jesus Christ, paid the penalty for his sin. Now, sometimes people will tell you you've got to know all about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. But remember this, thousands of people were saved while Jesus was here, and there was no death on the cross, and there was no resurrection yet. They didn't know anything about it. It hadn't happened yet, and they still were saved. I didn't know everything about the resurrection. I didn't know everything about the cross. When I became a Christian, I only knew one thing. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was going to hell. And it's just like the man told me that led me to Christ. God loved me. Christ died for me if I would accept him as my Savior. I did that. I just simply prayed a simple prayer and asked him to save me. I didn't understand all the mechanics. And this is what happens. People begin to add details to it. There's no details necessary. The only detail that's necessary is God judged Christ in our place. See, they didn't believe he was the Messiah. They even tried to have him incriminate himself. And the high priest himself said, "Tell us, are you the Christ or are you not?" Well, yes, he was the Christ. And this is what people had to believe. Is he the Christ? Is he the Son of God? And if he is, and you believe that, and you're a Christian, you say that's too simple. You've got to give up, you've got to join, you've got to be baptized, you've got to whatever, and you start adding all these things to it. No, just ask someone, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the anointed Son of God? That's the key. If they can believe that he is the Son of God, then they understand that he paid the penalty for their sin. It's really simple. The work has been done, and yet organized religion wants to add more work to it. So the false prophets sneak in. The false teachers sneak in, and also for mature believers, believers that are growing in grace, and all of a sudden some guy says, "Wait a minute, I got a better deal. I've learned something extra. I got a better program." I remember always when I used to play football for a great college football coach named Paul Bear Bryant at the University of Alabama. Some of the secondary coaches would leave Alabama and go to other schools and develop their own program. Unfortunately, they never won like he did. The reason they were winning is because they were associated with Paul Bear Bryant at Alabama. And when they left the mentorship or the tutorship of Bear Bryant and went out on their own and developed their own program, you never heard from them again because they thought they got a better deal. They thought they could do it better than the Bear, quote, did it. And this happens sometimes in the ministry. Men that were great, men that had phenomenal ministries, did phenomenal as long as they stayed under the head coach. But when they walked away from the head coach and said, "Hey, I got a better deal, I can do it a better way," and you never hear from them again. They fade into the wire. These are the false teachers that Peter warns about that would secretly bring in destructive heresies. In 1 Timothy 4, Timothy wrote essentially the same thing, except he says the Holy Spirit, now he's witnessing here, the Holy Spirit expressly says in the latter times, and that's the times before the advent of Christ, in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, and they will give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, and they will speak lies and hypocrisy, and they will have their own conscience seared with a hot iron. By the way, the searing of the conscience with a hot iron, the word is kostodriazo in the Greek. We get an English word cauterize, sear, cauterize. This is like taking a cow and branding him with a brand with a hot iron. And you remember the cowboy shows where they'd lay him down and they'd brand their bar TJ into that cow's hide, see, or bar CK or whatever the name of the ranch was. And that cow would carry that brand always. This is what happens to your conscience when you buy into doctrine of demons. This passage goes on to mention some of the false doctrines that were being passed around. And Timothy warns that these deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons, these are people in the ministry. These are pastors in pulpits. You understand that? These are not weirdos on the street corners. These are pastors in pulpits who may or may not even be a Christian, but they're going to teach some deceptive doctrine called a destructive heresy, and it is not true. Thus, you must essentially be very careful about what you buy into, and therefore you cannot afford to deviate from sound doctrinal teaching. You must submit to the authority of a solid, sound Bible teacher. And I can assure you the only reason I have a ministry, the only reason you hear me talking to you today, is because God the Holy Spirit led me to a person like this. And I stayed faithful to that person. I sat under that person's ministry. I never felt a desire to go out and be my own man and develop my own doctrines, where people do that so often, and they wind up so far away from what the truth really is. Do not deviate from sound doctrine. When you do, you won't be heard of again. You'll fade into the wire. You won't have an effective ministry. Your Christian life will continue. You'll go to heaven, no problem about that. But your impact and your influence for Jesus Christ will be limited. The second warning that I'd like to give you, the first one, don't deviate from sound doctrine. The second one is don't drift from grace. Peter again in 2 Peter 3:18 says we should grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word grow is a mandated verb in the Greek New Testament. This is not a request. This is a mandate. All verbs have a mood, a tense, a voice, and even an etymology where they came from. And this verb is the imperative mood in the Greek New Testament. That means this. God is not asking you to grow. God is telling you to grow. And what are you supposed to grow in? You are supposed to grow in grace. The grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, what does it mean, grow in grace? Well, it means, for example, there is saving grace, living grace, dying grace, surpassing grace. Growing in grace is you learning the Word of God, learning the grace assets that have been provided to you by God, and there are 40 things you receive at the moment of salvation. 39 of them are irrevocable. One of them can be revoked. That's the filling of the Holy Spirit. When you sin, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit anymore. You become carnal until you rebound. But when we're told to grow in grace, it means we need to understand how grace functions. We need to understand everything we can understand about grace, because God's policy is grace. And if we represent God, we must do it in grace. Recently, I was around a pastor, a very wonderful pastor, who was selling his books. And that's not grace. That's profiteering. It's making money off of the Word of God. And we have a lot of books. You've probably seen them on our website. Some of you have ordered them. We don't sell anything. It's free. God gave it to us, and we give it to you. Grace always provides freely. Salvation is free. Information from the Bible is free. You don't sell it. So I had to learn those lessons early in my ministry. I had to learn that that I don't hit people up for money. I don't solicit support. If God's in it, God will pay for it. It's just that simple. Even though we have to pay for the radio shows every month that we broadcast on, we don't hit people up for money. It's grace. God, in His grace, either will provide it or we shut it down. One of the two. Grow in the grace and in the knowledge. Here's an interesting word for you. The Greek New Testament word for knowledge is the word gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S. But there's an additional word, and it also is translated knowledge. And that word has a preposition in front of it. It's called epignosis, and it would be spelled E-P-I-G-N-O-S-I-S, as compared to just the word G-N-O-S-I-S. What is the difference between knowledge and epignosis, or full knowledge? Well, here's the difference. People that just learn the Bible and don't apply the Bible have a knowledge of the Bible. But people that learn it and apply it have the full knowledge. So the difference is between learning and applying. Gnosis is information you've learned. Epignosis is information you've learned and applied and lived by. So we are to grow in the grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Hebrews 2:1, we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have learned, lest we drift away. Immature, slow to learn believers are caught and carried away by sensationalism, by emotionalism, and they just fade into the wire. You don't hear from them anymore because they are not willing to submit to the authority of a qualified pastor and learn consistently. They are lured into false doctrine, sometimes called prosperity doctrine, or et cetera, a lot of different things. And it's terrible. They drift away from grace. And then finally, before we close out, the third thing I had to learn is not to be discouraged by discipline. Don't deviate from sound doctrine, don't drift from grace, and don't be discouraged with discipline. In other words, Hebrews 12:6, God said, those that he loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son that he receives. The Bible goes on to say in Proverbs 15:10, harsh discipline is for the one who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction shall die. Did you hear that? He who hates correction shall die. That's called the sin unto death. And there is such a thing. It's when God says, you're irreconcilable, I'll just take you on to heaven now. Your time on earth is cut short. Yes, you go to heaven. Yes, you're going to be there for eternity, minus a lot of rewards, because you couldn't learn. You were too arrogant. And even his discipline, you did not respond. You reacted to the discipline. And this is what arrogance always does. Arrogance always reacts rather than responding to truth. So keep these three things in mind. If you're a believer, God's going to discipline you. Don't get discouraged. You're not defeated. Listen, when you play sports, you mess up. You turn the ball over in basketball, or you don't make the block in football. That doesn't mean it's the end of the game. You get up and do it right the next time. Believers fail. And when we fail, it's not the end of the game. God's not through with us. We rebound, we take our discipline, and we move on. That's essential. You know that. These three things are critical if you're going to become a mature believer. I hope you're listening, and I hope you're paying attention, because the Lord knows we need you today. This is the host of the Flatline, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening today.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.